production. We want to see the progress. You know, again, this story is predicated on hiring. And, you know, hiring right now, it's super competitive. You know, there were years and years of under enrollment in geology and engineering programs, under investment in exploration. So we're all competing from the same smaller drained pool of talent.
Okay.
You know, so do I think this thing is worth dramatically more? Absolutely. You know, we come out with a study that incorporates all of our drilling and incorporates the results of that open pit trade-off study, and a plan to fill the mill. You know, you look at our peer group, this is not me arm waving, this is data. You know, that's a $4.5 to $6 billion company.
Steve Yang here with Jonathan Laud at Hemlo Mining, is your executive chair. We're here at the Rural Symposium 2026. How's the conference treating you so far?
It's been great. I really appreciate the time to, you know, to come on here, and this is our first time at this conference, and have known Rick for years, and he's been a big supporter of what we're doing.
So actually, before we begin, if you wouldn't mind sharing where you guys are trading, what your website is, how people can find you.
Sure, we trade primarily on the TSX under HMMC. We do trade on the OTCQX under HMMCF. And we are pursuing a dual listing on the New York Stock Exchange, which should happen in December of this year.
Well, tell us about Hemlo Mining. I don't know too much about you. I know that there's a lot of excitement here around you guys. You're at the Rural Symposium. I know that Rick Rule vets these companies very carefully. And so if you can just tell us what you guys are all about.
Sure, look, Hemlo has been an iconic Canadian mine for over 40 years. It's produced 25 million ounces of gold. Barrick decided to sell Hemlo, the Hemlo mine, last year. And Bob Quartermain reached out to me in April and asked if I wanted to lead a team to purchase the asset. So we raised over $1 billion US, bought the mine. We won the bid on September 10th. We closed on November 26th. And started trading on December 2nd, and it's been an incredibly busy first 6 months of owning the asset.
So tell us about the asset. Where are you guys? If you can tell us about the jurisdiction and as well as what stage you're in.
Sure, so it's producing. In 2025, the mine produced about 135 to 140,000 ounces of production. 25 million ounces of gold has come out of the ground. It's in Marathon, Ontario, so it's just on the Canadian side of Lake Superior. It's about a 3-hour drive east of Thunder Bay. And what we saw when we acquired the asset was just underutilized infrastructure that Barrick had built, very well maintained, but a massive endowment that was just neglected and starved for capital. So we see a lot of opportunity to significantly increase the resource and extend production, you know, for several decades.
So what do you have in the ground? How much do you have? What's the grade like?
So we just updated our resource a few weeks ago. We're now at 4.8 million ounces in M&I, another 700,000 ounces in inferred. We're drilling 130,000 meters this year. So we've got 8 rigs underground, 2 at surface. And everything we're doing right now is designed at updating our 2027 technical report.
Okay.
And you'll see a new life of mine study. And you'll likely see an increase in ounces, larger throughput for longer.
Okay, so it's to increase the production.
We have a very simple strategy, and it's to fill the mill.
Okay.
So when we bought Hemlo, the mill was at 38% capacity.
Okay.
So 3,800 tons per day, the mill can do 10,000 tons per day. So that's our strategy over the next 2 to 3 years, is to fill the mill. So phase one is to go from 3,800 tons per day, which it was exiting last year, to exit 2026 at 4,800 tons per day. And then to exit 2027 at 6,000 tons per day. And then go from 6 to 10. There's a large resource in the open pit. We're either going to do what's called a layback and to get those ounces, or bulk those ounces from underground. We just need to finish, you know, that trade-off study.
Okay.
So 6,000 tons per day is around 200,000 ounces. 10,000 tons per day is between 250 and 300,000 ounces production a year, which would put this into a top 6, top 7 gold mine in Canada.
Wow.
But the difference, We think we can be able to sustain that for well over 20 years.
Help me understand how that works. Like, when you say 20 years, where is that? Is that kind of what you're projecting for this mine?
Yes.
Okay. Are you extending the life of it somehow, or?
Yeah, so right now it's a 14-year mine life.
Yeah.
We think we can add another 5, 6, 7, 8 years to it, but it basically double the production profile of what we bought. And so this year is a year of investing in the business.
Okay.
We're putting $130 million into the business this year. $38 million is on exploration. You know, we've purchased 21 pieces of new equipment. We're hiring. We phased out the contract miner. We've made tweaks and additions to the mill and the mining camp. You know, our story is predicated on hiring another 100 people.
So you're hiring 100 people. First of all, how much money do you have in the bank? And how much are you cash flowing? Where's that money going to come from?
So we overraised when we bought the mine to make sure we had enough working capital in case there was some kind of a surprise or something that Barrick didn't disclose.
Yeah.
So we've got about $150 million US in cash, and we have $150 million in debt.
Okay.
So we paid down $75 million in debt already this year. And our first quarter that was announced a few weeks ago, we generated $70 million in free cash flow. So these next two quarters are the capital intensive quarters,
okay,
where a lot of that $130 million is going to hit. So our cash flow in the next two quarters won't be as high as in the first quarter. And we've telegraphed that to the market. 2027 is a year of significant free cash flow generation.
So your cash flowing, you've done a raise for a good, how much money do you have in the bank right now?
150.
Canadian?
US.
US.
Real currency.
How far does that take you? And will you be needing another raise soon? And then if you also talk about your share structure a little bit.
Sure, so no, I mean, we over-raised. So when we raised $1 billion, okay, the cap stack, it was comprised of $540 million US in equity, a $300 million stream from Wheaton Precious Metals. They also gave us $30 million in equity and $250 million in debt.
Okay.
So one of the nice things about the transaction, we're very close to Orion Mine Finance and Wheaton. They did significant due diligence. So we were able to collaborate and share data and concepts and strategy, and we were super aligned. So those were our two kind of bookend financiers, and we couldn't have done the transaction without the support of Wheaton and Orion.
Can you talk a little bit about your share structure, how many you have, as well as the major institutions and ownership?
Sure. So we've got 296 million shares out. The stock is $5.50, $6 a share Canadian. Biggest shareholders are Fidelity, T. Rowe Price, Wellington, and Orion, Wheaton. Management owns about 6%, so management's got almost $50 million of its own money into the deal, after-tax dollars, which is really important. And that's one thing that Rick Rule has talked about is being a principal, being an owner, having skin in the game,
yeah,
you know, alignment. Because there's a lot of that in the industry, quite frankly, where management teams have no money into their own deal.
Yeah, I look for skin in the game. I also look for experience in the team. Can you talk a little bit about your experience as well as what the team looks like?
Sure. So my last two companies, so I was CEO of a company called Gold Standard Ventures. I founded that. I consolidated the southern portion of the Carlin Trend. That sold to Orla.
Okay.
So Orla is going to build a mine called Railroad. My next company was a company called Dakota Gold. So I bought three assets from Barrick out of the closure group during COVID.
Okay.
I was CEO of that. The second largest shareholder, I stepped down in October of 24. Good friend of mine, business partner, mentor, Bob Quartermain, living legend, called me in April and asked me if I wanted to lead a team to buy Hemlo. CEO Jason Kosick, came up in the Osisko group. He's a structural geologist. Founded a company called Millennial Precious Metals that merged with Integra. He stepped down and was executive chairman of Mineral Amals and bought some assets from Equinox and has been our CEO since day one. Our COO is Eric Tremblay. He built Canadian Malartic, which is Canada's second largest gold mine. You know, we've got a great team. I mean, John Case, our CFO, who's here, ran one of Canada's largest and most successful precious metals funds. So you've got a really good group. And it's one of the first deals I've ever worked on where you had absolute full alignment in every aspect of the company.
Yeah.
It's quite rare.
How long have you been producing, and then do you have plans for another mine, more exploration?
What, so the mine's been producing about? For 40 years.
40.
So 25 million ounces of gold has come
did
out of the ground.
Did you say 40?
40, 40.
Okay.
Since 1985.
Okay.
So 25 million ounces of gold has come out of the ground. And, you know, our job as management is to mitigate risk.
Okay.
So one of the nice things about buying a producing mine is you know what the metallurgy is going to be. You know what your geotech is. You know what your rock conditions are. You know what the geology is.
Yeah.
It's not to say that you won't have surprises, but you can manage those better because you've got 40 years of data.
Right.
To answer your last question, we do not want to be a single asset company. We want to use this as a platform to grow in a similar manner to what a G Mining has done or an Orla has done. But it's really important that we focus and invest in the business this year to lay that foundation and platform for future growth.
And what's your market cap right now? And where do you think you should be given you seem, every CEO that's worth their salt is going to say they're undervalued, or no one's going to say they're overvalued. So, like, but where do you think you are with your peers?
So right now the market cap is 1.7 billion Canadian. We think that something that has the ability to produce a 250,000 ounces for 2 decades and sustain that is worth a lot more than 1.7 billion.
And what do you think the market is not realizing?
You know, look, as of yesterday's close, we were up 13% for the year. The GDXJ is down 8% and gold's down 5%. This was as of yesterday's close. So
yeah.
Everything's obviously down today.
Right.
So we've outperformed. But it's just a bit of a show me story in terms of, okay, we want to see a couple quarters of production. We want to see the progress. You know, again, this story is predicated on hiring. And, you know, hiring right now, it's super competitive. You know, there were years and years of under enrollment in geology and engineering programs, under investment in exploration. So we're all competing from the same smaller drained pool of talent.
Okay.
You know, so do I think this thing is worth dramatically more? Absolutely. You know, we come out with a study that incorporates all of our drilling and incorporates the results of that open pit trade-off study and a plan to fill the mill. You know, you look at our peer group, this is not me arm waving, this is data. You know, that's a $4.5 to $6 billion company.
So is the biggest bottleneck the ability to hire? And
that's one of them, but again, look, we are a very entrepreneurial, very aggressive group.
Yeah.
But we want to do this safely.
Yeah.
Our miners coming home, our workers coming home every day safely is very important. So it almost sounds like a bit of a contradictory statement. Go, 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 push, push, push.
No.
But we will not put our employees and our workers, you know, in jeopardy. So working as quickly and but as safely as we can. It's just alleviating some of the bottlenecks and some of the choke points in the mine.
Yeah.
But this mine did do 1 million ounces of production in 1 year. It did 500,000 ounces of production in like many years.
Yeah.
So this is not, we're not reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah.
Again, simple strategy, fill the mill that's already built.
Right.
We know what the recoveries are, but it's just about investing in the business. So people say, well, why did Barrick sell the asset? If it was so good, why didn't Barrick do this?
Yeah.
So this was less than 5% of Barrick's global production. Mark Bristow at the time, who was CEO of the company, I have an enormous amount of respect for Mark Bristow. I bought the assets from him to form Dakota out of their closure group. He has a tier one and tier two definition. So tier one is 500,000 ounces, tier two is 350 for different durations. So even if we filled the mill and it was 275 to 300,000 ounces a year, that doesn't fit their description of a tier one or tier two asset. And so he was really fixated at the time, Mark Bristow, on Four Mile and Reko Diq in Pakistan.
Okay.
So, you know, really big, you know, generational. I mean, Four Mile is probably gonna do 750,000 to 1 million ounces of production a year for decades.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a generational ore body. You know, Reko Diq is a big system, but it's in parts of Pakistan where you probably don't wanna be.
So, a lot of great mining companies here. Just curious as to how you guys are unique, or what kind of investor would be the right fit for you guys.
Look, it's people. You know, I think we appeal both to institutional and high net worth and retail.
Yeah.
track records. You know, a lot of our teams have had, founded companies and had exits, selling them, building them.
Yeah.
You know, I think what Quartermain did at Pretium is really the gold standard for me in terms of buying an asset from a company, making a discovery, putting your economic resources, putting economics, getting your permits, raising the money, and building your mine and gold pour in under 7 years from discovery is unheard of in harsh conditions, in a harsh geographical region where there's no roads, no electricity, on a glacier, snowfall.
Yeah.
And to do it where he did 5 IBAs. So I think that's the standard. And we've definitely embraced and adopted those standards as our own.
So this is your first year at the Rural Symposium. What's your favorite part so far? And then secondly, I look forward to seeing you here perhaps next year. And when we do, what are you hoping this company becomes?
Look, we want to grow this company into Canada's next mid-tier gold producer. In terms of this conference, I've known Rick for a long time, through Bob. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I give a talk tomorrow, and then Rick was gracious enough. I don't know what he was thinking, but he put me on this Future Legends panel. So it's myself and Amir and Donnie, who runs UEC and has done a phenomenal job. That's tomorrow at 12:10 in the big ballroom, which should be great. This year, if we're sitting down next year, I hope we have our 2027 technical report out, where you see that larger production profile sustained for longer. Because the average gold mine is 6, 7, 8 years. So to have something that's 20 years and you're not done, there's still, like, when we acquired the asset from Barrick had consolidated a big part of the district. So it's 47,000 hectares. That's a big land package.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of data on that. And so we're going to focus that 130,000 meters this year largely on brownfields, like conversion drilling. There's a little bit of growth drilling in there, but we're going to really focus on growth drilling in 2027 and really start to step out. So it's quite exciting.
Well, Jonathan, look forward to hearing your story. Look forward to seeing you next year. And I'm sure that Rick Rule knew what he was doing when he was asked to be on that panel. So look forward to hearing you talk and following your story.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Much appreciated.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.